now we'll read the scriptures together tonight from the Old Testament. 2 Kings is the Bible reading tonight. It's chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 8 of the chapter. So 2 Kings, chapter number 4, and verse number 8. Let us hear, please, the word of the Lord. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said unto a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him in the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my stuff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi, and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, she said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Just standing at verse 37, and we know God will indeed bless the reading of his precious word to every heart for his own sake and for his own glory. Let us turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. And you'll find our text tonight in verse 26. Text is a question, as a matter of fact, that Elisha, indirectly through his servant, asked this woman whose life was filled with trouble and heartache and pain. And the question was very, very simple. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, "It is well." And I just want to ask you that same question this evening. Is it well with thee? Let us seek the Lord together. Father, we thank thee for a God in heaven who is interested in individuals. We thank thee, O God, that whether someone is a church attender or never darkens the door of a meeting house, we rejoice that our God is interested in the affairs of men. We thank thee, O God, that thou dost look down from heaven. And Lord, you see all things. You know all the details that concern each and every one of us. And O God, we thank thee that thou art even speaking to us through this text, demanding an honest response. And O God, we pray that thou wilt give to us all tonight judgment day honesty to answer this question in the light of Scripture and in the light of eternity. And grant, O God, tonight that souls might be saved, that those who are cold at heart might be restored, that the people of God might have a renewed zeal and a renewed assurance, and that, O God, thou wilt most of all honour, exalt, and glorify thy Son. To that end, O God, I entreat thee, and I claim by faith the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the blessed power of Pentecost. And I pray that he might uplift the Saviour and give help to this earthen vessel. Hide me behind the cross, glorify the Saviour, and do good to precious souls. We ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. One of the most frequently asked questions is the simple question, "How are you?" It's probably more of a greeting than a question, because sometimes whenever a person asks you that question, they don't really wait for an answer. They just move on. "How are you?" And off they go. But I wonder tonight, could I ask you that same question? Honestly and earnestly and sincerely. How are you this evening? How are you really? Forget about the token gesture answer, "I'm fine." But answer the question tonight within your soul. How are you? Is it well with thee? Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, the great prophet Elisha has befriended a godly couple. A man and woman of wealth and of means, the scripture says back there in verse number 8, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And that's speaking of her standing in her community, her standing in society. And Elisha befriends this woman along with her husband, and they in turn befriend Elisha, so much so that every time Elisha passes that by, he enters into their home, he fellowships with them, he ministers to them, and they minister to him. And in the process of time, they actually build a little extension onto their house with a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. So that whenever the prophet of God passes by, he will have a place to stay. But this couple longed for a child. They were barren. They didn't have any children. And they longed for a child. They longed for a son. And under God, this woman conceived. And in process of time, she gave birth to a little baby boy. He was the joy of their lives. He was the token of God's goodness to them. He was the center of attention in their home. And the little boy began to grow. And one day, as he was out working in the fields with his father, he suddenly took some sort of a headache, cried out in pain, and the father called one of his servants, "Take this little boy immediately back to his mother." And as the servant carried the child back to the house of his mother, the little boy lay in his mother's lap for an hour or two, and then the sickness got worse, and in process of time, he died. But all the while, we're told in verse number 25 that it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off. Elisha came to where she was, but even before he arrived at her home again, he was watching her from a distance. And in Scripture, Elisha is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, whenever heartache or pain or suffering comes to the home of somebody who loves the Lord, even before the Lord steps in and before the Lord intervenes, he sees afar off exactly where we are. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See o'er the portals. He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. And Elisha sends his servant to go to this woman's home and to ask her this simple question: is it well with thee? And I believe tonight, as God in heaven looks down upon this meeting, and as God has you here under the roof of this church, under the sound of God's word, the question that God would have this servant to ask you tonight is the same question that Elisha had for this woman: is it well with thee? He's watching and he's waiting. And he asks you tonight, is it well with thee? Now, there's a much deeper significance here. And this is a question that all people must answer. And I want you to answer it tonight. Is it well with thee? Let us consider, first of all, the heart of the question. The heart of the question. Is it well with thee? Now, it's obvious to Elisha. And it's obvious to Elisha's servant Gehazi that circumstantially all was not well with this woman. We're told in verse number 20 that her little boy sat on her knees until noon and then died. So as far as circumstances were concerned, as far as her home was concerned, her family was concerned, at the very least physically, it's evident that all was not well. And the scripture tells us that Elisha saw this and Elisha knew this, but nevertheless he asked the same question: is it well with thee? Her son has just died. And here comes this man of God by means of a servant and asks her, is it well with thee? How are you? So it's evident that the question has a much deeper significance than all of the things that were just concerning her family and the little boy. Elisha is really asking a question: is it well with your heart? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with you spiritually? And what about your husband? This heartache has entered into your home. This trial has come to your home. Is it well with your husband? Is your husband still walking with God? Does your husband still have his eyes upon the Lord? And as far as the soul, the spiritual condition of the little child, we know that he's dead physically, but spiritually, was it well with the child? And of course, she gives the answer, it is well. So the heart of the question is not so much dealing with externals and with circumstances and with physical realities. The question concerns even greater realities, the matters of the soul and the spirit. And tonight, that's the heart of the question for you. Is it well with thee? Now, yes, tonight we're concerned about you and your home and your family and your health. But there's a much greater question that needs to be asked, and it's concerning your spiritual state before God. You see, tonight your soul hangs in the balance. Your precious, eternal, and never dying soul. And forget about everything else for a minute. Forget about your circumstances. Forget about your home. Forget about your workplace. Forget about yesterday. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about all that has gone on before. Forget about all that's to come. And right now, in this meeting, can you answer me this question? Is it well with your soul? You say tonight, well, what is the soul? This is a question about the soul. And the soul is the seat of the personality. Whenever God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, the scripture says God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was made in the image of God. Man has got the power to think. Man has got willpower. He's got intellect. He's got emotions. And all of these different facets of the human nature are bound up whenever we think about this whole principle of the souls of men. This is the thing that distinguishes man from the animal kingdom. God gave man dominion over all the animals, and God gave man a position of responsibility and a position of accountability. And God tonight is maybe asking you, is it well with your soul? The soul is the seat of the personality, but the soul is something that is eternally valuable. That familiar question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Your soul will never cease to exist. Thousands of years from tonight, your soul will still be alive, as much alive as it is tonight. Thousands of years. In fact, for all eternity, your soul will be conscious. The scripture tells us in Luke chapter 16 about a certain man who died. He was a very rich man, he was a wealthy man, he was a religious man, but nevertheless, in the process of time, the rich man died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. His body was in the ground, but the rich man was still alive. His body was dead, but the soul went on living. The moment his body fell to the earth, the soul stepped out of the body, out into eternity. And that soul is alive tonight, as real as the rich man's body was. And there's a day coming whenever the body and the soul will be reunited one day. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Fear not them which are able to destroy the body or kill the body." But he says, rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. The second death. The death that never dies. Years ago, there was an entrepreneur by the name of Herbert Thompson. He was a Canadian by nationality. He was a media mogul, we might say, a lot like some of these great media men that are about today. This man just did very well in everything that he touched and everything that he put his hand to. In 1957, he brought Scottish television. He viewed it as a license to print money. And within a relatively short space of time, Herbert Thompson had over 200 newspapers in his empire, not only in his native Canada, but also throughout the United States and also throughout the United Kingdom. As well as owning 200 individual newspapers, Herbert Thompson had 290 other businesses. He died in 1976. The assets that he left behind worth an estimated $300 million. On one occasion, he was asked a question. What would you give to own the New York Times? What would you give to own the New York Times? Herbert Thompson replied, "I think I would mortgage my own soul. I think I would mortgage my own soul." Literally, I would sell my soul to own the world's biggest newspaper. And I wonder tonight, Are you selling your soul? Are you robbing yourself of your soul's salvation for a little bit of pleasure in this earth, for a reputation, for a box of cigarettes, for a drink, for money, for position, for reputation? I wonder tonight what you're selling your soul for. Your soul is valuable. And then this text would indicate as well something of the natural condition of the soul. Is it well with thee? And that indicates that it's possible for it not to be well with the souls of men and women. You see, the Bible says the redemption of their soul is precious. And the Bible speaks oftentimes, Hebrews 10:39, James 5:20, as well about the saving of the soul. Now, why would the Bible talk about the soul being converted and the soul being saved and the soul being redeemed? Because naturally speaking, the souls of men and women, people like you, people like me, naturally our souls are sinful. We were singing a little bit earlier, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Just to save a sinful soul like mine. And so tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian, you're not born again, or you're not walking with God, something needs to be done. If it's not well with your soul, you need to make a transaction with God tonight, and you need to get right with God and make sure that it's well with your soul. And this is where the person and work of Jesus Christ comes in. There's not one of us, not one of us, that can make it well with our own soul. Some people say, well, I go to church, I try my best, I'm a good person, I don't do anybody any harm, I put money in the plate, I've been baptized, I take communion, I sit at the Lord's table, I've made some type of profession, I have a form of godliness, I don't do anybody any harm. And surely, all of that is worth something. Surely God in the scales of justice will put all of my good points in one side, and maybe all of my bad points in another, and God will weigh it all up. But I'm pretty confident tonight that my good works will outweigh my bad ones. But friend, if that was the case, if morality and religiosity and good intentions and sincerity and good works could bring our souls into a place of favor before God, the Son of God would never have left the splendor of heaven and come into this sin-cursed earth and suffered and bled and died upon a cross. And friends, that's a historical fact. Jesus Christ lived and died on this earth. Scripture says Christ died. That's history. Scripture says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And there is our authority. Christ died for our sins, and there is our theology. Why did this man leave heaven? Why did he come into the world? Why did he die? He died the just instead or in place or for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Again, I ask you tonight, is it well with thee? Godly Chicago businessman by the name of Horatio Spafford loved the Lord. His wife loved the Lord, and some of his children, they loved the Lord as well. Life is going well for Mr. Spafford. He had a successful business, he had a large family, one son and four daughters, and a beautiful wife that he loved very much. And then all of a sudden, things started to go wrong as far as he was concerned. In 1871, his only son, his beloved little boy, just like this couple that we've been reading about tonight, his little boy died. In that same year, the great fire of Chicago destroyed his business. And he lost his business. He lost his prosperity. About a year and a half later, in 1873, he decided he would go on holidays to England. He sent his wife and his four daughters on before, and they crossed the Atlantic while he remained in Chicago just to settle some accounts. The steamship, the Ville de Havre, mid-Atlantic, struck another vessel and began to sink rapidly. 226 people died that day, and among the death toll were Horatio Spafford's four daughters. His wife made it to London as the only survivor. She sent her husband a telegram with two simple words on it: saved alone. Horatio Stafford was heartbroken, as you could well understand. Last he went to be with his wife in England, where he was visited by his friends D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, the great gospel singer. And he was able to tell them, whenever they asked him how he felt, "It is well with my soul." And he wrote that tremendous hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Friend, tonight, is it well with thee? The heart of the question. Notice as well something of the manner in which this question was asked. I would suggest to you, first of all, that this is a vital question. This is the most important question that you could ever ask, and it's certainly the most important question that you could ever answer. Is it well with your soul? How foolish to evade the question of a lifetime. How foolish to neglect the opportunity of a lifetime. And here you are amongst friendly people, amongst friends. There's nobody tonight in this meeting that would lay a finger upon a hair of your head. Everybody in the meeting tonight that loves Jesus Christ and are Christian people, they want what's best for you. And I know in my heart tonight that I want what's best for you. And I'm asking you tonight, is it well with your soul? You know, we spend so much of our time and so much of our money in this world trying to find the answers to questions that have no value. The scripture says that we're to avoid foolish questions that just gender debates and strifes and start arguments. And yet so often we evade the largest question of all: is it well with your soul? During the week I spoke to an unsaved man, very, very religious man, devoutly religious, and we talked at length, I'm sure, for about an hour and a half about the things of God, about the Bible. And he had many, many thoughts, many ideas about his religion, about his creed, about his church, his denomination. But whenever you ask the fundamental question, "Do you know that you're saved and you're going to heaven?" couldn't answer the question. And folks, tonight, this is the most vital question of all. It's the biggest question. Is it well with your soul? It's a vital question. But you'll notice as well here, it's a pointed question, because Elisha ask the question, "Is it well with thee?" He wasn't speaking about somebody else. He was speaking to this woman. Is it well with thee? And friend, can I ask you tonight pointedly, is it well with you? Not the person beside you, or the person behind you, or the person in front of you. Not somebody else. Not all of the hypocrites that are in the church or in the world. But I'm asking you, is it well with you? If you're the only person in this meeting tonight, the question still needs to be asked. Is it well with your soul? What about your salvation? What about your standing before God? What about your state? I'm asking you, is it well with you? How are you tonight? What about your relationship with God? What about your eternal destiny? Let's just be blunt about the thing and ask you tonight, is it well with you? You know, I remember somebody once telling me that they said, you know, my son was in a meeting, and he says, "You were preaching in it, and he says you were very direct." Now, this was a Christian man. There was no doubt about that. And he said you were very direct. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Is that wrong to be direct? Maybe I should be more indirect? Maybe more cryptic? Maybe more suggestive? But friend, if this was the last meeting that I ever preached at, or this was the last meeting that you ever sat in, and this was the last chance you had to hear the gospel, and you went away and say, well, I wasn't challenged, and there was nothing directly pointed at me, friend, I would have failed, because your soul tonight hangs in the balance. And I want to ask you pointedly, is it well with your soul? It was also an earnest question. Elisha's asking this woman, is it well with thee? Is it? Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? He was earnest. He was sincere. He was genuine. He really wanted to know how this woman felt. Are you still trusting God? Are you still walking with God? Now, I know that circumstances aren't everything that you would want them to be. I know that your boy has died. But is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? You know, I'm sure you've met those type of people. They shake your hand. How are you? And off they go. And you think, that person doesn't really want to know how I am. But Elisha did. And I would love to know tonight, is it well with you? You know, if we have to sit after the meeting for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 hours to get this matter settled, well, let's do that. But friend, don't leave the meeting thinking that nobody cares. David said, no man cared for my soul. And there are people tonight in this meeting, and they pray for you. They enter into their closet. They pray for your soul. And we have gospel meetings. Why? Just to whittle away an hour? Just to say, well, we preach the gospel? Just for the good of our health? No, we have meetings like this because we are concerned earnestly, sincerely, genuinely about your soul. I would hate to think that people could leave Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, having sat amongst the people of God, sat under the sound of the gospel, heard that there's a God of love that sent His Son to save sinners, and you could go out, friend, and someday be lost forever. I hate that thought. That's why tonight I want to know that it's well with your soul. David said, no man cared for my soul. Nobody in the meeting tonight can say that. We're here tonight because we care for your soul. And God tonight in heaven cares for your soul, so much so that He sent His Son to die upon the cross. But you'll notice something else here. Verse 26 begins with the word run. Run now and ask that woman, is it well with thee? It's an urgent question. Run now. He says to his servant, now this requires haste. And let's get the attention for a moment or two off those in the meeting tonight who would acknowledge that they're not Christians. But let me challenge those of us who are Christians about our urgency to go to those people in our society and our community who are lost, who are facing trial and hardship and heartache. How often do we run and make an effort and go to where they are with haste and with conviction, in obedience to the Master, taking our place as a servant, to go to somebody and to speak to them about their soul? Now, there's a gospel mission coming up in a few weeks' time. What a golden opportunity for you and for I to run and to make haste and to go out into the highways and hedges with a gospel invitation, with an invitation to the mission, with the word in season, with earnestness, with genuineness, and with sincerity, and say, listen, would you please come to the meeting? I'm concerned about you. I love you in the Lord, and I would love it if you would come along and hear the gospel. Christians tonight, we must be instant. We were saying at our wee meeting on Thursday morning, I think it was, no, this gospel mission could be the last gospel mission that you or I will ever be in. Who knows what the future holds for any of us? Time is short. And this might be the last opportunity that some of your friends and loved ones have to attend a gospel mission. So we need to run, and we need to do it now. We must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And I don't relish the thought of standing someday at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord looking at me and saying, well, you were a bit lax, weren't you? You were a wee bit lazy. You didn't exactly run to the unsaved or run to the prayer meeting or run to the lost and invite them in under the sound of God's word. Friend, we'll not be able to fix our testimonies at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of the apologizing in the world as we see our loved ones who are not saved being ushered out into the lake of fire, all of the apologizing and all of the weeping and all of the tears then will do absolutely nothing. That's why I believe that after the judgment seat of Christ in Revelation 21, it says in the New Jerusalem, new heavens and the new earth, all tears shall be wiped away from their eyes. You know, I believe that there's going to be a lot of crying amongst God's people at the judgment seat about our lack of concern and energy in going to ask those who need the Lord, is it well with thee? But let's speak again for a moment or two to those of you in the meeting who are not saved. Friend, this is an urgent matter. And I'm asking you now, as Gehazi asked this woman now, is it well with thee? I can't make you a Christian. I can't make you drink. I can't make you drink at the waters of life. I can't make you come to Christ, but I can ask you, and I'm asking you now, is it well with you? D.L. Moody, whenever he was in Chicago, had a Bible class filled with young men. Most of them were saved, but there was one young man that D.L. Moody had a particular burden for. And on one occasion, Mr. Moody felt constrained to go to that young man and ask him about getting right with God and challenge him about his soul. The young man said, Mr. Moody, I thank you for your concern, but I'm going to California. I'm going to live there for a few years. I'm going to make my wealth and money there, maybe in the gold rush or in the cattle industry or some other thing. And then I'll come back to Chicago. And whenever I come back to Chicago, I will see you again and I will come to Christ. But before that young man ever got to California, he was very, very ill. D.L. Moody went to him again, said to him, you're not so well, and your plans haven't worked out. And I want to ask you again, is it well with thee? And the young man said, listen, I'm not coming to Christ, not tonight. I'll get through this. His health rallied round. He got better. He purposed in his heart that he would go to California again. And on the very night before he left, D.L. Moody spoke to him about his soul. And he got very angry. He says, Mr. Moody, stop talking to me about my soul. Never speak to me again about this matter. D.L. Moody went home and went to his bed. During the night watches, he was awakened by a knock at the door. It was the young man's wife. She says, my husband's ill. Can you come and see him one last time? D.L. Moody dressed as quickly as he could and ran to the young man's home, where he found the young man lying in his bed. And D.L. Moody wept with him and prayed with him and pleaded with him. And all the young man could say were two words. Too late. Too late. Too late. And he went out into eternity with those words on his lips. Too late. Folks, it's an urgent thing. Other things can wait. Whenever Paul was in the prison cell, he wrote to Timothy and he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Winter is setting on. The winter of life is setting on, and you need to do your diligence to come now. But notice lastly the answer to this question. This is a question that this woman had to answer. And it's also a question that you must answer. And she was able to answer the question with assurance. She gave an assured answer. Is it well with thee? Well, it's not well circumstantially, but spiritually. She was able to say, it is well. It is well. That's all she needed to say. It is well. She knew that it was well with her soul. You know, there's no point tonight me asking you, is it well with your soul? And you say, well, I hope so. It might be. I trust it is. I think it is. I would like it to be. I sort of believe it is. You need to be able to say with honesty and conviction, it is well. Christ did not suffer and bleed and die upon a cross to leave us in a spirit of uncertainty about this matter. The Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In writing to the Hebrews, he says, let us draw near with a full assurance. John said, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Folks, if this certainty was based upon anything that I have done, it wouldn't be certainty at all. It would just be sinful pride and sinful presumption. But because I am trusting in the righteousness of another, I can have assurance. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity, grounded, firm, and deep in the Savior's love. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. See it, Spurgeon told the story about a saintly old woman who was dying in a hospital bed. She loved the Lord. Her minister came to her, called her by name and says, sister, can I ask you, are you sinking? Are you sinking? You know what she said? She says, who ever heard of someone sinking through a rock? Can't happen. Who ever heard of somebody sinking through a rock? She says, if I had built my foundations on sinking sand, I might be sinking, but she says, I'm standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And no man ever sank through a rock. No ever woman ever sank through a rock. Horatius Bonner said, man is a complete sinner, and that's true. And Jesus Christ is a complete Savior, and that's true. But praise God, he says, Jesus Christ saves complete sinners completely. And that's true. I tonight have a perfect Savior who made a perfect sacrifice to secure a perfect salvation for a far from perfect sinner like me. Is it well with thee? I trust tonight that you can give an assured answer and say it is well. But in closing, there's an alternative answer. She could have said, it is not well. It is not well. I wonder tonight, is that your answer? In your heart tonight, you sit in the pew, you sit in this church, the question goes out, is it well with thee? And you have to lament and you have to answer, no, it's not well. Now, you mightn't admit that publicly, but in your heart, before Almighty God, you know tonight that it is not well with your soul. And you're not walking with God. And you don't love Jesus Christ. And your sins are not forgiven. And you've no thought or hope or assurance of eternity. Do you never think of the outcome of that? Do you never wonder how it's all going to pan out? If it's not well with you now? If it's not well with you now, it's not well with you eternally. And what an awful thing for your family. Someday perhaps to stand at your graveside and watch your coffin being lowered into the ground and to wonder where you really are. I'm sure most of us saw in the news or the newspapers or the internet the heartache and the anguish of so many people who got the news of that airline, the Malaysian airline flight MH370, lost without a trace. And their families and their loved ones waiting on, where are they? Are they safe? Are they well? Are they still alive? Are they suffering? Are they starving to death? They were lost, and their poor families just filled with heartache and consternation, and they couldn't answer for sure that it was well with their loved ones. And maybe you will leave your family, spiritually speaking, in a similar state. Where is he? Where is she? Is it well with him? Is it well with her? Is she lost? Is he suffering? You know, there's no need for you to leave this meeting tonight saying, well, it's not well. You can have it all settled tonight. Because while there is a hell for every sinner that's outside of Christ, there is a Christ for every sinner that's outside of hell. Albert Einstein, as an older man, was traveling, I'm led to believe, on a train. His memory, his mind wasn't as sharp as it once was. He was suffering from memory loss and various things. And he'd purchased his ticket, but on the course of his journey, he put his hand into his pocket and he realized that he'd lost his ticket. And he began to become very afraid. The conductor was making his way down the carriage and he found Mr. Einstein on his hands and knees, plundering under the seats and in around the chairs and through bags and luggage and so on and so forth. And he says, Mr. Einstein, what's wrong? Have you lost something? He says, I've lost my ticket. The conductor tried to encourage him and says, Mr. Einstein, it's fine. You purchased the ticket for myself a couple of hours ago, and whether you've lost the ticket or not, it's irrelevant, because I know that you've paid your fare, and if somebody challenges you, I'll be able to stand as your advocate and say that you purchased your ticket. Don't worry about it. Mr. Einstein said, well, that's not my problem. He says, I know that I purchased my ticket. And I know that I purchased it off yourself, but my problem's this. That ticket tells me where I have to get off. And I don't know where I'm going. And that was his problem. That's why he was so anxious. He did not know where he was going. And you might be in the meeting tonight and you're just like him and you don't know where you're going. You don't have Christ in your heart and life. And it's not well with you. Why not come and call upon the Lord and get it settled tonight? Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We're going to sing the words of that old hymn, 351. 351, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. But before we sing, let us just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, and let us seek the Lord, and then we'll sing a verse or two of this hymn. Heavenly Father, we ask tonight, O God, in the Saviour's name, that the Spirit of God will speak into hearts and lives. Lord God, it's between God and the souls of people in this meeting. Lord, we pray that you will speak and grant, O God, that there might be honesty, and that the Spirit of God will strive in hearts, and that, Lord God, there might be those who will be able to leave the meeting for the very first time in their lives and be able to testify to the words of this hymn, it as well. It is well with my soul. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 351. We'll just sing verse 1 and verse number 3. Verse 1 begins, when peace like a river attendeth my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll. Then verse 3, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. Verses 1 and 3, 351, standing to sing.
Thank you.
Father, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts. We pray, O God, that none of us will be able to escape this question until we get it settled. Is it well with thee? Father God, speak on. Part us now with thy grace, thy blessing, thy fear, and thy favour. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit of God himself. Answer prayer for the Saviour's sake. Amen.